Lord God, we pray that you would speak today, that you would teach, that you would encourage, that you would empower. We pray that you would help us to respond. We thank you, Lord, for who you are, and we pray all these things in the strong name of Jesus the Christ. Amen. Today, finally, at long last, we begin a new chapter in our series. Our series, you may recall, is exploring all the growth imagery in the Bible, and it's taken us from January through the end of the summer is when we'll end this thing. But today, we begin the fun part. We are finally done with the first 8 chapters of Romans, which was the awesome and yet less fun part. Now we get the fun part, and I want to begin this part with this question. How do you grow? How are you growing? In what ways are you growing right now? And I'm talking about all different kinds of growth. Mentally, how are you growing? Physically, emotionally, relationally, growing in wisdom, growing in the character, growing chronologically, growing horizontally. There's all different kinds of growth. Some are easier than others. But how are you growing? If I were to give you a homework assignment this week, that your job this week before next Sunday is to grow in several of those areas, how would you do that? What would you have to do to make that growth happen in your life this week? You got 7 days. How would you make that happen this week? Now, for some kinds of growth, that's relatively easy. You know what to do. If you're needing to grow in knowledge, you need to study. You need to read. You need to memorize. You need to research. Maybe even finding a good teacher will be helpful. That's how you grow in knowledge. Though, if you're like me, you've had times in your life where that didn't actually work. No matter how much you read or tried to memorize or had a good teacher, the information just wouldn't go in your brain. Electromagnetics, it just doesn't make any sense. Or other things. I just wonder if there's ever been a time you could not grow past a certain point or you just had trouble learning something. And that's with growing with knowledge. How do you grow in wisdom? Where do you even begin on that one? To grow in strength, you know what you need to do to grow in strength. You probably need to work out a little bit, maybe lift some weights a little, do some cardio. Probably wouldn't hurt to, eat right and sleep better as well. And you will probably grow in strength. But how do you grow in things like character? It's trickier. And then what about growing deeper in some of those really hard things? How do you grow deeper in your relationships, grow deeper emotionally? How would you go about growing spiritually in the next 7 days? Is it simply a matter of wanting it more? Is that what it takes? You just need to, I just really want it, and then I'll grow. I got a card at some point. It had a big picture of an orange on the front, and it asked the question, are tangerines just oranges that didn't want it enough? Is that all it takes? Is it simply a matter of just wanting that growth? Because if that's the case, we could do it right now. I mean, growth then isn't all that hard. Pick an area you really want to grow, and I'll just count to 3, and then just do it. And then, 1, 2, 3. Did it work? Did it not work? I mean, is that all it takes? Which, of course, leads us to other questions. How do you even know if you did? I mean, maybe it did work. How do you know? How do you know if you've grown spiritually or emotionally? Is all growth even good, healthy? Which maybe even is a more important question. I've had a plant for about the last 15 years or so. It has survived more than 12 moves. It's traveled across the country a couple of times now. I think it's flown a couple of times, though I think that's frowned upon now. But anyway, it has survived, which is the more amazing part of all this. But there was a certain point where, and I've learned a lot about this plant since it's been with me for so long, but this plant, it's one of those ones that kind of grows out from the center. It does one of these things. But there was a season where the plant would grow these leaves out, and then they'd get to a certain point where it couldn't hold its weight anymore, and then it'd just kind of crack right in the middle of the leaf. And then that the end part of the leaf would just die. But it was most of the leaf. It would just go out and then just and it would die. In other words, the plant would grow too much, and then it would break, which caused more damage than if it hadn't grown in the first place. Why would it do that? Why not just stop at some point? I mean, you grow and you're like, whoa, we're at the danger point right here. I'm done. Let's grow another leaf now. Why does it keep going to the point where it breaks? That doesn't make any sense. Why not just find a nice sustainable size and just level off right there? My plant, of course, isn't unique in that a lot of plants grow in different ways that aren't always healthy, that hinder future growth. And of course, it would be nice if only plants did this, but I wonder if we do it too sometimes. I wonder if we grow in directions that aren't always good or at least optimal, and we don't bear as much fruit as we could. I wonder if there are times that we actually need some pruning in our lives so that we can clear some space, so that we can use our resources better. But that, of course, brings us back to the original question. But how do you grow in the first place? What is the cause, the impetus, the source of our growth? Are we ultimately completely in control of how we grow? And if not, what are those other factors? I mean, we're in church, so obviously God probably has some part in this, but how much? How much control do you have of your growth? And it seems like you should have more. And yet I'm not so sure you do. Which is strange. I think most of us are probably here this morning, among other reasons, to grow spiritually. I mean, you're here for friends, you're here to make new friends, you're here to worship, to serve, to see what your pastor has in store for you. You're here, but most of you, I lost an hour of sleep. So why, at the end of the day, part of the reason I'm here is I want to grow at least a little bit deeper in those deeper places, to grow a little bit more spiritually. And yet, what if we don't actually have any control over our spiritual growth in the first place? If that was the case, shouldn't we all just go home? A couple years ago, I was at a conference on spiritual growth. And so the point of the conference, it was like a 3-day conference, was to, here's how you can grow spiritually and or teach other people how to grow. And there's all sorts of different speakers that were speaking on spiritual growth. And then this one guy got up there, and he basically made the case, you can't actually cause yourself to grow spiritually at all. Which was sort of a strange thing to say right in the middle of the conference. I mean, the schedule says we have another one of these, but apparently we're done now, I guess. Is there a refund? Like, that was halfway. Like, can I go home now, or is there still more? And to prove his point, the speaker actually read from a passage, which is our first passage for the day. And as a pastor, this one has been messing with me ever since this guy said it. So if you would, I'd encourage you to turn in your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 2 through 9. 1 Corinthians is a letter from Paul. It's to the church in Corinth. It was one of two that we have in our Bible. Technically, there were two others that were written that we don't have that aren't part of the Bible, but that's okay too. But he was writing to this church in Corinth, and in it, he's trying to address some of the issues that they have. They're struggling with certain things, so he's writing this letter to say, hey, here's how you still resolve this. Don't do this. Do this. That kind of a thing. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 2 through 9 say this. I gave you milk, not solid food, for you are not yet ready for it. Indeed, you are still not ready. You are still worldly. For since there is jealousy and quarreling among you, are you not worldly? Are you not acting like mere men? For when one says, I follow Paul, and another, I follow Apollos, are you not mere men? What, after all, is Apollos? What is Paul? Only servants through whom you came to believe, as the Lord has assigned to each his task. I planted the seed, Apollos watered it, but God made it grow. So neither he who plants nor he who waters is anything, but only God who makes things grow. The man who plants and the man who waters have one purpose, and each will be rewarded according to his own labor. For we are God's fellow workers. You are God's field, God's building. Amen. So here the Apostle Paul is writing to this church in Corinth, addressing some conflict they're dealing with. Apparently, this church has grown factions, which is happens, and it shouldn't. And some of the people in this church are on, well, we're on Paul's side. Oh, yeah? Well, we're on Apollo's side. And Paul's writing them to say there's no place for that kind of a thing in a church. But then, and this is the part that strikes me every time I see it, Paul points out that he's the one who planted the seed, and Apollos watered the seed, but God was the one who gave the growth. And that's the only one of any importance. And of course, that's not to say that planting and watering aren't important. They are. But in comparison, only God is the one who makes things grow. When you think about this, there's huge ramifications for what this says about growth. Because the assumption in your life, the assumption that our world tells us, is that your growth is 100% up to you. Except the Bible says not so much, actually. I've seen churches, lots of them actually, that give you a good ordered set of steps to grow spiritually. Spiritual growth is very easy. You do step one, step two, step three, step four, and boom, you grow. And if you want to grow more, you go back to step one. Step one, step two, step three, and then you grow. Except Paul seems to be saying that that's not how it works at all. You can't cause yourself to grow. That's God's job. Which brings us to our second passage. Because at this point, you really should be asking for your money back as well. Let's just go home. Because if you can't cause growth in you, and I certainly can't cause growth in you, and we're here to grow, and God's just going to do it whenever God does it, why church? Maybe, hopefully God will grow me at home as I sleep, as I do whatever else I do. It was alluded to in this passage. It'll be a little bit more stark in this next one. But let's turn to Luke chapter 13, verse 6 through 9. This is one of many parables of Jesus that he spends a little bit of time talking about plants and growth. Really, the whole Bible, when you look at it, it seems to feature, and it makes sense, feature plants and farmers and growing and that kind of imagery. There are burning bushes that are there to call hesitant leaders. There are vines withering around those pouting prophets. There are trees that allow for a wee little man to catch a glimpse of Jesus. And so much more. Jesus especially seems to spend a lot of time talking about growth. As you read the Gospels, it seems like he's always talking about planting and harvesting, and a farmer planted a something in a place, and this happened, and it grew, and there are vines, and there are mustard seeds. It's the image he drew from all the time. And so throughout this section of our sermon series, we're going to look at some of those passages. What did Jesus have to say about growth? About plants? Why did he use this kind of imagery so often? And then ultimately, hopefully, how do we as Christians grow spiritually? Our second passage takes place as Jesus is walking somewhere, talking to someone. That's your background. What's more, among other things, he's talking about, he's doing some teachings of kind of end times. And there's an urgency, a quick, this needs to happen and it's important. That's kind of the tenor right as we get to this passage. That's enough for our purposes today. Luke chapter 13, verse 6 through 9. Then he told this parable. A man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard, and he went to look for fruit on it, but did not find any. So he said to the man who took care of the vineyard, "For 3 years now, I've been coming to look for fruit on this fig tree and haven't found any. Cut it down. Why should it use up the soil?" "Sir," the man replied, "leave it alone for one more year, and I'll dig around it and fertilize it. If it bears fruit next year, fine. If not, then cut it down." Amen. Jesus tells this strange little parable about a man who has a fig tree in a vineyard. And he goes to the fig tree to find fruit, and there isn't any. What's more, there hasn't been any for the past 3 years. So at this point, you're obviously going to cut down this tree because it's not doing anything for you. Remember, this is a fig tree planted in a vineyard. A fig tree does not grow grapes. That's what a vineyard's for. So, if this tree isn't producing figs either, it is actually taking nutrients for the rest of your vineyard, which makes you have less grapes. So, it isn't just worthless, it's actually counterproductive. It's actually hurting things. And so, obviously, the owner wants the tree out. But the man who takes care of the vineyard makes a case for the tree, and more importantly points out that there's actually some work that we could do on this tree. And who knows, maybe it'll grow fruit. The caretaker says, I'm going to dig around it a little bit. I'm going to fertilize it a bit. And hopefully that's going to breathe some life back into this tree. And if not, then we cut it down. Now, we're not going to get into all the different pieces of this parable. It's a really complex parable. If I were, I would have given you a whole bunch more background and context than I did. But this parable is pretty obvious as far as it's talking about some form of judgment here. Apparently, unfruitful trees get cut down. And this is even more disturbing because it doesn't really tell us anything else about this tree other than the fact that it hasn't produced fruit for the last 3 years. And here's why I find that even more disturbing. It's one thing if you plant a tree and it's just not a good tree. It just doesn't ever produce fruit. It's another thing, and the passage is not clear here. This may be a very old tree that has been fruitful for years. It may have done all sorts of incredibly good work, but then not in the last 3 years. You see, it stopped. It may have stopped producing fruit, or it may just never have produced fruit at all. Either way, it's about to become kindling. If you take Jesus seriously at all, this is a frightening little story. Because it seems like part of the point of the story is if a tree does not bear fruit for some amount of time, we just chop it down. And obviously it's not talking just about a fig tree in a vineyard. So this is a scary little story. But that said, it's also, if you then keep looking, it's also a story about grace. Because while the tree should be cut down for firewood, the caretaker argues for a little more time and is going to do some work in the tree to hopefully stop the judgment from happening. Which sounds a little like what Jesus did for us, by the way. Apparently, as we've been learning and reviewing for the past 9 weeks, it's not actually all up to us. Jesus, the gracious gardener here in the story, not only will help us, but already has already kept the judgment from happening. He's already done all the work to get you saved, but as we've been learning, that doesn't mean he's simply content with us staying fruitless. He's not content with you staying enslaved to sin, enslaved to your old self, enslaved to a substandard way of life. Instead, Jesus sets to work on us and in us and with us. Jesus works with us to make us healthier. He adds some fertilizer here. Maybe he digs around some roots there. Maybe he needs to do some pruning in some areas, which is never comfortable, but maybe that gives us some room to breathe. He does what's needed so that we can become healthy and fruitful. And the part that really strikes me for our purposes this morning are that apparently, taking a step back here, there are things you can do for a plant to help encourage growth in it, even though it's clear that God is the one who brings the growth. You give the tree a little bit more air. You dig around it a little bit. Maybe you do some weeding. Maybe you add some fertilizer. You care for the tree a little bit, and who knows, maybe it will grow healthy again. Maybe it'll produce fruit. So from our first passage, we see that only God gives growth, but then in both passages, we see that there are some jobs that maybe we can do to encourage that growth. From the first passage, we see that Paul planted, Apollos watered. In the second passage, the gardener is going to do some weeding, some pruning, some fertilizing. All this to help the plant produce fruit. Which is where our sermon series, ultimately this part of it, is going. What are the things that we need to add into our lives to encourage healthy growth? What are the things we need to take out of our lives to encourage healthy growth? What does healthy growth look like in the first place? How do we know? And then as we approach Easter, how did Jesus not only talk about this stuff, but how did he live this out for us? But one final thought to kind of wrap this whole thing up, for this week at least. So I was trying to put all this together this week. I had a moment of clarity about all this. That moment of clarity became an insert that's in your bulletin. So go ahead and find that now. Make sure you have it. It's the folded up piece of paper with two columns. If you have it, close it and keep it with you. The first service, they all started reading it, and I was like, no, I'm going to keep talking. But take that with you. I'll explain what it is, though. We all know that plants need certain things in order for them to grow. That's relatively obvious. They need water, they need sunlight, they need soil, they need the right temperature. And if all those things are present in the right amount and God provides some growing, the plants grow and they grow well. However, what happens if there's not enough water? What happens if the pot is a little bit too small? Or there's sunlight, but not enough sunlight? The plant maybe grows a little bit, but then at some point it stops. Or it doesn't grow in healthy ways. And if certain things are missing altogether, the plant doesn't grow at all. Not only that, but as a plant matures, there are different things that the plant needs. The older the plant is, maybe there's more drastic the pruning needs to be because the plant has grown set in its ways. And I'm only talking about plants here. Don't assume I'm talking about anything else. The plant, an older plant, may need a little extra fertilizer because it's already used up kind of the soil around it. The plant may need to be transplanted to encourage new growth, and it maybe needs other things as well. Which then got me thinking, what if the exact same thing is true of growth in our Christian lives as well? With it being Lent, some disciplines, Christian practices were in my mind already, and I thought maybe that's how you understand all these things. We've spent the last 9 weeks talking about how we don't do all of that stuff to make God love us more. You don't do all that Christian stuff to earn heaven, but Jesus already took care of all that. But what if all that stuff was to help encourage growth in us a little bit? For example, you know that reading the Bible, praying, being in a small group, all of those things are important for Christians for numerous reasons. But it's hard to always see how those things affect growth immediately. I mean, if you're like me, I hope you aren't in this case, but if you're like me, you have had times where you've read the Bible and you really just kind of were reading it like, wah, 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 wah. I mean, it just kind of like over your head or not even over, just kind of, you just missed it. I have no idea what this is saying and I don't care. Again, hopefully you're not like me in that, but times where you read it, you're just like, I don't know. Or it just has no effect on your life that day at all. Maybe you've, and again, hopefully you're not like me. There have been times I have prayed and it literally is like I'm just talking at a wall. I believe more happened than just that, but that's what it felt like. Maybe you've been to a church, hopefully not this one, where you were there to worship and let's just say the pastor kind of just swung and missed. I mean, it was a good cut. It was a good whiff. And yet, there are times that when you are growing where you're probably reading the Bible and you're probably praying and the pastor's on his game and all the rest. Like, so why does it work sometimes and not other times? It's kind of the heart of it. But then thinking through this plant analogy, it started to make more sense. What if these are all the things that you need ultimately? But of course, different people need different amounts of all those things. Different people need more of one thing in certain seasons than in others. And there are times where a young seed needs some good moisture. A seed doesn't need that much sunlight. A healthy plant needs a lot of sunlight. There are different seasons. During the winter, it doesn't need as much of this. It needs a little bit more of that. What if the same is true of us? What if there are seasons of your life where you simply need to be praying more to grow healthy or more community to grow healthy? And if you're missing a little bit, you still may grow a little bit, but at some point the pot's a little too small. At some point you just need a little bit more sunlight or water to really grow the way you're supposed to. What if you're just simply missing something altogether? What if that's part of the reason that you're not growing as healthy as you should be? Because at some point, the plant just simply, it needs some sun, it needs some water, it needs some prayer or some Bible study. So maybe we need to make sure that these different things have a place in our lives, not so that God will love us or anything like that, because as we've talked about for the last 9 weeks, God's love isn't contingent on what we do. It's about who He is. But maybe we do all those, make sure all those things are in our lives so that He can make us who He wants to make us. so that we can become who He has designed us to become. Maybe that's our part. It's our job to make sure all the pieces are in place so that when God brings the growth, it is healthy and it is fruitful and it is abundant. In a minute, we're going to take some time and we're going to actually channel our inner kindergartner and plant some plants that you will then take home with you. My hope in this crazy idea is that throughout this next 40 days, the season of Lent that we're in, that this plant would serve as a reminder of this idea. We started it early to make sure it would work because it's been a long time since I've been in kindergarten. So we actually have it's like 2 or 3 weeks old now. But we have them just kind of sitting on our kitchen thing. And there are times where I'll be walking by, I'm like, oh, look, the soil looks dry. Wait, I should water that. There are times where, like, the sun keeps moving. It just does that. I don't know why. But where it gets too much sun, and you're like, okay, wait, that's too much sun. We got to move it over here. Oh, that's not enough sun. We got to move it over here. And maybe these plants can serve as a reminder for us during Lent as we look at the plant and say, oh, it doesn't have a lot of water. Wait a second. When was the last time that I don't know, prayed, read the Bible, did one of the other things on the list? Maybe my spiritual life is thirsty right now, and I need to make sure it's getting its water. Maybe it hasn't had a lot of sun recently, and I need to make sure it's getting the sun it needs. Maybe I need to spend a little time with some fertilizer in the soil, making sure it has all the nutrients it needs. So my hope first is that the plant will grow. That's God's job, a little yours, a lot of God. And then hopefully as it grows, this plant will serve as a reminder. That it becomes a reminder that it's God who does the growing, but we have a part in that. Let's pray, and then I'll tell you what we're doing next. Lord God, we thank you that you are the giver of all growth. That we can water, we can plant, we can weed, we can prune, we can do all of those things, but ultimately, you are the one who makes things grow. We thank you that you, in the Garden of Eden, took some dirt and formed it into a human and breathed literally the breath of life into it. And you made us alive. We pray that you would keep breathing, that you would keep bringing new life into us. Lord, we pray that you would help us to use this next exercise to examine our own lives, to see what may be missing that's necessary, what may be not quite enough, that you would help us, Lord. We pray that you would help these plants not only grow, but to serve as reminders that we need some of these things too, and that ultimately we need you so that we can grow. Lord, we thank you for your Son, Jesus Christ. We thank you for the ways that he taught us about growth. And it's in his name we pray all these things. Amen.